Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Does anyone know how to get out of a Starbucks contract? I just started my new job and I already want to quit. I really want to quit. Because this isn't normal. I mean, is it? Do you guys have experience with this type of thing, or is it a normal thing when moving to the city? I'm a small town girl, so I'm not used to this. We didn't even have a Starbucks. Just a diner that had been broken into multiple times over the years. Do you know the bad feeling you get when something bad is going to happen, but you ignore it for the sake of staying sane? Yeah, I'm in one of those situations. But I needed cash. I needed a job. College in the city is expensive, especially in my mid-20s. Uber Eats every night and various subscriptions such as Netflix and Spotify, as well as basic living needs, required cash. So, naturally, I looked for part-time jobs I could use to fill up my weekend and nights. When it came to job hunting, I was fairly lazy, so the Starbucks job kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't even looking for it. I was applying for a job in the local music store when it caught my eye. Someone to work late evenings and nights on weekdays and Saturdays. The job description didn't say much. And just basic pay details and a full paragraph dedicated to talking about the Starbucks family. Skim reading it, I skipped to the Apply Now button and sent in my resume via email. 2 hours. It had taken 2 hours to get an email back offering a video interview the next day, and a guaranteed job if I didn't screw it up. The video interview went well, to my surprise. The woman who conducted it acted more like a friend, asking me what my favorite movies and TV shows were, and then going into detail about her own. It didn't even feel like an interview, more like a chat, which was exactly what the email said it was going to be. The interviewer was my mom's age, a total mom-like persona. She offered me iced tea before laughing and realizing we were on a video call. Her cat popped up halfway through her introducing several staff members by name, a large tabby whom she picked up and hugged to her chest. I wasn't sure what to do except repeatedly say "aw" and force an even bigger smile. The woman, who for some reason did not introduce herself, finished the interview with a more formal and thorough talk-through of rules and regulations, which went in one ear and out the other. I think I was too excited about the job as a whole. There's something almost mystical about working at Starbucks. I've seen barista TikTok complaining about customer service and harping about in the back rooms. It looked fun. Plus, free drinks. I figured working at the famous coffee chain would at least have benefits and freebies. The woman spoke to me for almost 2 hours about certain drinks, telling me I would be trained up, and then going on to explain the do's and don'ts in a working environment. It was kind of patronizing, but I figured she'd had to be to remain professional. I tuned out when she started talking about a certain feud they had with another store down the road. The woman didn't go into detail, but her expression did darken significantly when she leaned closer to her screen and repeated the phrase, "Do you understand me?" I had to backtrack and try to go over what she had been saying, but I had found myself mesmerized by the gilded sword in the background. It hung from the back wall in all of its glory, and I was having a hard time trying to figure out why exactly a Starbucks manager had a sword hanging from her wall. "Sim." Inclining her head, the manager cleared her throat. "Did you hear me?" I did. Sort of. Under no circumstances must I visit or go near Second Street Starbucks. If I did, there would be dire consequences and I would face losing my job, or worse. I wasn't sure what "or worse" was, but from the way her expression twisted from funny cat lady to a potential employer, I didn't want to ask. Yikes.
Yeah.
Listen, I can't go near the Second Street store. I almost choked on a glass of water I had been slowly sipping through the interview. I had been sweating most of the day, dying in the intense June heat. It was a lot cooler in the evening in the city, but I was used to draining at least 10 glasses a day.
Is that real?
I couldn't help but ask, pointing to the sword behind her. I know you are supposed to maintain a certain professional persona and facade during professional work interviews with potential managers. However, I really wanted to know if that ancient thing was real. It was driving me crazy, because questions were arising in my head. How did she get it? Was it hers? Was it for some kind of aesthetic and feng shui? Or was there more to it? From the look on the interviewer's face, she seemed startled. Whipping her head around, her strict gray ponytail hitting the screen, she nodded before turning back to me, her gaze flicking down to what I presumed was a script she was reading off. Or maybe she was skimming through my printed-out resume. I wanted to ask her more about the elephant in the room, but she seemed satisfied with answering my question with a nod. She asked me more questions, mostly about my work ethic and if I enjoyed working in a team and independently, if I had any special requirements, and, oddly, if I had ever held a firearm. Now, that caused alarm bells. Along with the gilded sword dangling from this 40-something-year-old's lounge wall, I was definitely starting to question the exact nature of what I would be doing at this job. Serving coffee was an obvious one, though I was pretty sure Starbucks baristas didn't require military-style training. When I didn't know what to say, she seemed to backpedal.
"Oh, it's in case of a robbery,"
she said, but her expression stayed stoic, speaking in the tone of being joking, but not being joking.
"It is rare. However, it is a precaution we must take."
Choosing her words carefully, the interviewer steepled her hands in front of her face, leaning her chin on her fingers.
"Our employees are given basic firearms training in the instance that one day we may face a difficult situation. Now, I'm not saying it is inevitable, but due to certain behavior throughout the years, it is, of course, better to be safe than sorry."
"Oh." I tried to smile.
I haven't."
I paused, hoping my lack of ability to hold a gun wouldn't screw up my chances.
"But I can learn?"
I said it like a question, because it was a question. I was questioning myself why exactly I would take up my time learning to shoot a gun I most likely never would need. To my surprise, though, the woman's smile brightened, and she looked down at whatever she was writing.
"Of course,"
she said.
"Sim, I'm very happy to hear that. We love employees who do their best to learn and thrive in our working environment."
She paused and typed something on her laptop before her gaze found mine.
"I'll put you down for lessons on Friday mornings. How does that sound?"
Before I could answer her, because I was starting to seriously question why she was so obsessed with training me to use a goddamn gun, she was nodding to herself.
"I will put Jude in charge of you. I think he is working on Friday, so your introduction and welcome can be completed in the morning."
She trailed off into her own murmured conversation to herself before clearing her throat. I jumped. I didn't mean to jump, but her whole presence was putting me on edge. The lady had been nicer on the phone, and early on in the interview when she was grilling me on which Frozen character was my favorite.
"Okay."
The interviewer gathered up her paperwork, beaming at me through the camera.
"Can you start tomorrow? Let's say..."
Her eyebrows furrowed together.
5:30. I will not be there for the first hour due to certain obligations."
She traced her lip with the tip of her...
"You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times. Or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months. Or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best."
For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. New models may be shown.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dax.
However, I have 4 employees working the front desk. I'm sure they will give you a warm welcome.
I noticed something twitch on her lips. It was almost like she was trying to stop herself from laughing, which was childish from a standpoint where I was the younger one while she was the senior. She was supposed to be setting some kind of standard, and yet for some reason was more inclined in teasing me about workplace friendships and apparently how close my colleagues were. I wasn't stupid. I knew what friendship was like in the workplace. It's not real, because you're all there to do a job, not making lifelong friendships.
I look forward to meeting them,
I said, when she snorted out a laugh that twisted up my gut.
Absolutely,
she responded.
The team is very close, so don't take it personally if they're initially cautious. I'm confident that you'll all become great friends. Kai is a kind-hearted sweetheart, while Anna may seem standoffish initially, but she'll warm up to you once you get to know her. Jude, on the other hand, will be your guide during the orientation, so it's best to stay close to him. In fact, it's recommended to shadow him during your first few hours, since he's our top performer. Frankly, Sim, I can hardly wait for you to meet them. They're a great group.
This woman seemed to suddenly discover the use of expletives, or maybe she had noticed I visibly wanted to crawl into the ground. The way she was describing the other employees, I was expecting cartoon characters when I walked to the door.
Right,
I said. I was starting to regret applying.
I'll be there.
She ended the call with a bright smile and her stupid cat walking on the keyboard, causing her to squeak out in horror. I shut my laptop, my cheeks burning. Well, that went... well? Could I really say it went well when the manager had spent the last 5 minutes implying my work colleagues were going to hate me? Fuck. I didn't want to go. I trashed my application and deleted her number from my phone, but the morning after, however, I came to quick realization through precious morning coffee that I needed cash. So, no matter how much I didn't want to go, I had to. So I headed to class and tried not to think about it. It was 5:34 when I stepped into the familiar glow of the famous store. Not before being stopped in the middle of a crowd by a girl wearing bright pink Ray-Bans and a scowl.
Do you work there?
She turned and pointed to the store. I shrugged.
I guess?
She scoffed, slipping off her Ray-Bans and fixing me with a bitchy smile.
Your funeral.
Normally, in situations when strangers say odd things to me on the street, I just laugh it off. But this seemed personal.
What?
The girl didn't say anything before turning and walking, or rather, running away. Well, that was weird. After that encounter, I was weighing the positives and negatives of taking up this job. The job positives would be cash and something to occupy my mind away from class, and the negatives were being stuck with insufferable colleagues and a manager who was the embodiment of unprofessional. The store was pretty empty when I stepped through the automatic doors, reveling in the cooling fan blasting icy cold air in my face. A dark-haired college girl had her back to me, cleaning tables, but I noticed her stiffening up when I took a step forward. She straightened up, like a cat going into territorial mode, before relaxing and holding a 2-fingered hand up. The store was empty, so I had no idea who she was signaling to. It wasn't a greeting to me. I had no idea what it was. I was halfway to the counter before a guy popped up out of nowhere, midway through drying a cup with a wash rag. His hair was the first thing I noticed, bright red. In contrast to his pasty skin, this guy would definitely stand out in a crowd. He was my age, or maybe a little older, mid-20s, with a wide smile and not much of anything else. Kitted in a short-sleeved shirt and a Starbucks apron over the top. I expected a quirky, cartoon-like weirdos, and I got an average Joe. I wasn't complaining. Initially, I thought this guy was just another jock-like college guy. But looking closer, the friendliness in his eyes wasn't sincere, and his smile was strained. Keeping up a professional attitude, he regarded me with a smile, leaning across the counter, but his eyes kept flickering to the door in quick succession, like he was waiting for a certain someone to come in.
"You?"
He pointed at me, trailing his finger to the door, swiping hair from his face with his hand. The guy was bouncing on the heels of his toes, I noticed. He couldn't stand still, like a hyperactive child.
"You're Sim, the newbie I'm supposed to be training."
I nodded, offering a nervous smile.
"Jude."
He introduced himself, though clearly distracted. His gaze flickered to and from the door. His facade was friendly enough, but very fake. It was the same smile I presumed he flashed at customers who complimented his looks.
"Hey, Sim."
Instead of holding out his hand for me to shake, he folded his arms across his chest. Jude cocked his head, drinking me in before his lips broke out into a beam.
"Shall we get started?"
Jude started the tour, showing me the store itself, then the back, the storage room, the staff room, and bizarrely, a wooden door, which he referred to as the drink. I had no idea what that meant, but I made a mental note to steer away from it. The back rooms of the store turned into a labyrinth. The place was covered in mold, peeling paint on the doors and old, rugged floor tiles. Jude spoke way too fast, like he was initially trying to confuse me. By the time I was struggling with my apron, he was turning on his heels with a brow raised.
"Your hair is too long, so you need to tie it up. You can shadow me this evening, but don't get in my way. We have 2 20-minute breaks, and during them, we are contractually obligated to go down to the Second Street store and throw eggs at their windows. Oh, and the girl you just met who didn't say a word, that's Anna. You'll get used to her."
His smile reached a level of fake I didn't think was possible.
"Why don't you follow me?"
"What?"
I managed to hiss out when Jude was leading me down a long, winding corridor that dipped into various rooms, out-of-order elevators, and the creepiest set of stairs I had ever seen leading into the pitch dark. I was still trying to register his words. Jude twisted around with a frown.
"What's up?"
He nodded at a passing blonde girl who shot me a smile and high-fived Jude before disappearing through a door.
"You throw eggs at the store down the road?"
The guy's lip twitched into the start of a smile. He turned around, quickening his pace.
"Did I say that? Obviously, I was joking."
I stumbled after him, knocking into a dark-haired younger guy carrying a tray of cupcakes. He and Jude seemed to exchange words without speaking before Jude gestured to the stranger. Somehow, I figured out their telepathic conversation through eye movements and strained smiles. They weren't talking about me.
"That's Kai,"
Jude said, pushing through the doors back to the main storefront. He took a customer's order, retaining that stupid smile.
"If you need any help with making those annoying TikTok drinks that take a millennia to make and have probably broken several Geneva Convention rules..."
He playfully knocked into me while preparing a drink, his hands knowing where everything was, preparing and serving a latte in a matter of minutes.
"Kai is your guy. He runs our social media page and is practically a connoisseur on the next big trend. He'll deal with the Zoomers."
I was slowly starting to ease my way into the job, and my colleagues seemed pretty cool. Jude actually helped me all the way through the evening, introducing his home life and how he grew up as he cleaned tables and conversed with the others, always throwing me into their chatting so I didn't get left out. I ended up sorting through cookies and making price labels with Aurora, the perky blonde who high-fived Jude earlier. She spoke to me like we'd been best friends for years.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times. Or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months. Or the Rogue, heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, Number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Years, and that part of her charm made me instantly adore her. She was tiny for her age, but a menace when it came to her sharp tongue and language. I didn't think a tiny thing like her could swear like a goddamn sailor, but it was cute. Jude and Aurora had a sibling-type thing going on, though every time I caught Kai's eye, he was smirking. It seemed everyone knew they had a thing except them. I was actually having fun with the others, bobbing my head to the radio while serving a group of kids, when Jude, who was next to me, seemed to go rigid all of a sudden. His laughing smile carved into something else. I had never seen an expression change so fast. But he wasn't the only one. Aurora, cleaning tables and giggling at Jude's joke, straightened up, her eyes flashing to the door. Kai's head snapped up from where he had been grinding coffee. Following their gaze, I found myself face to face with the manager who interviewed me. But unlike the night before, she was not smiling. The woman dropped her bag at the door before marching towards the counter. Jude leaned over, her expression apprehensive.
"Well?"
His eyes, as well as his tone, had darkened significantly. All of my colleagues had taken off these masks, these facades of jokes, smiles, and bright eyes. And now I was seeing a glimmer of what they were hiding. What Jude had been looking for all evening, sneaking glances at the door. I watched his gaze follow the manager as she paced back and forth, chewing her nails.
"Where is he?"
"I don't know," she finally said, lifting her head. Her lips were twisted.
"But,"
she said, spitting each word as she rounded the corner, helping herself to coffee.
"You're going to pay a visit to them right now and sort this out once and for all."
Her voice resembled that of a mother talking to her children. She was assertive to them, her eyes piercing.
"Do you understand me?"
The woman nodded at Jude.
"You can go."
Her eyes found mine.
"Take the new girl. She needs to be introduced."
Finally, she turns to Anna, who was standing in the corner silently.
"You too. I need brains, and Jude is just brawn. Keep him on his toes, young lady."
With a hint of sarcasm in his tone, Jude uttered a brief thanks, and then proceeded to take a coffee cup and a Sharpie. Swiftly, he scrawled some words on the side of the cup before placing it inside a bag and plunking it in front of me. As Jude reached for his coat at the back, he put it on over his green Starbucks apron, creating a striking contrast with his denim blue Sherpa. With his mop of red curls, this guy was in no way going to be as incognito as he thought. "We'll manage the conversation," he said hurriedly, visibly excited. Jude seemed to lead the others in their expressions, his confidence and wit causing them to brighten up, adapting wide smiles. He shoved his hands in his pockets.
"All you gotta do is hand them this, okay?"
"Is that a good..."
Kai drifted off on whatever he was about to say, ducking his head when Jude shot him a glare.
"I think it's a perfect idea."
The manager beamed at me.
"What a way to fully bring you into our family."
I took the coffee cup, the empty coffee cup, hesitantly.
"What is it?"
"It's a gift," Jude said, moving towards the door in long strides.
It was all too noticeable that this guy was practically vibrating with an energy I had never known. It was almost manic.
"I want to let him know we appreciate them. You know, rival to rival."
Kai stepped in front of him on the way out.
"Be careful,"
He sat in a low hum. Aurora joined him, but she wasn't speaking. Her left hands tugged at the waistband of her jeans.
Keep your head down when you go in, because they'll be expecting you, and they'll be expecting retaliation.
Relax, it's Cora. We used to date. He cocked his head. I think.
I mean it.
Judy's gaze found mine for a brief moment before his smile grew. Well, we have enough eggs, don't we? He grabbed my arm, pulling me along. Anna was already gone. I could see her figure already slinking down the street, bleeding into the shadow. When the two of us hit the cool night air and Jude quickened his pace into a power walk, his eyes set forward, jaw set. I figured I should ask what his deal was. If this guy was serious about vandalizing a rival Starbucks, and not just that, urged by his manager, then I had to say something. The thought of ending up in jail being petty over a rival store made me feel nauseous.
So, what's this about?
Catapulting myself into a half-run to keep up with him. The guy had abnormally long legs, so he was halfway across the sidewalk while I was barely two steps in front.
Aren't you taking this a little too seriously?
Jude didn't hesitate. Instead, remarked on the sky being filled with stars.
Hey, Anna, he shouted. Wait up.
Second Street Starbucks was like walking into a palace. I could tell why these guys were rivals. The place was a three-floored beast, a glass building made up of a Starbucks downstairs, a library, and a private apartment. I found myself mesmerized by the twinkling lights on the door, the mini water fountain through large windows showing an even bigger storefront, with rich-looking wooden tables and reclining chairs. The store was closing. When we stepped in front of the door, there was a sign which clearly said, "Closed" on the front. Still, though, Anna pushed her way through it, followed by Jude, pulling me along with him. Two employees were working, a guy with short, blondish hair mopping the floors, and a girl standing at the counter, going through the register. The moment we stepped inside, the guy cleaning up stopped mopping from side to side, his fingers visibly tightening around the mop handle.
Hey there!
With one of his best fake smiles, Jude raised his arm in surrender. We're from the Starbucks down the road. We come in peace, don't worry. He gestured to me.
Can we talk to your manager?
He took a step, his lip twitching, eyes glinting, which caused a stir in the air. The girl at the counter stopped flicking through a wad of cash in her hand and delicately put it down, and the guy turned to face us with his wary eyes. As Jude took another stride forward, his movements resembled a dance, and I noticed he was having fun teasing them. His eyes sparkled with a childlike glee that was unexpected for a person in his 20s.
Would you like to try our latest coffee recipe? It's like sipping on liquid sunshine.
He nonchalantly brushed his jeans, and I half expected him to pull out an egg. But Jude took another step, and Anna situated herself behind the blonde boy, her expression blank.
You've already tasted it, haven't you?
The girl behind the counter finally stopped counting cash, delicately placing a wad back inside the register before leaning forward, an amused smirk curving on her lips.
Jude?
Her voice was a low murmur.
I didn't think I would see you here so soon.
Cora. Jude's lips quirked. Trust me, I don't want to be. But hey, it's the boss's orders. She inclined her head, her eyes drinking all of him in. The girl rested her fist on her chin. She was surveying him like a piece of meat.
And you obey her.
His grin widened. And I saw his hand once again brush the front of his apron. Like a dog.
You know her?
I hissed out, grasping hold of the coffee cup in my hand.
Cora?
Jude turned to me.
Oh yeah, we used to be the Romeo and Juliet of coffee shop rivalries. Back when we were both newbies and our store kidnapped me as a last resort. To keep the peace, I stayed.
He shrugged. That's what I'm told, anyway. Starbucks lore was getting dark. These guys had to be joking around. I took a step back, eager to head towards the door and be as far away from what I was pretty sure was going to be a lot.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
...out of eggs and several arrests.
You worked here?
I couldn't believe my mouth was still moving and forming words as I took slow steps back before Jude caught my arm. Apparently, he said, dragging me back to his side. Why don't you give them their gift? Fuck. Unwrapping the bag and pulling out the cup, I nodded and took slow strides toward the counter, placing it down in front of her. Clara frowns before picking it up, her gaze going to the side.
Go fuck yourself, Second Street bloodsuckers, she read it out loud, her brow raising into her hairline.
Shit.
I should probably go,
I managed to say, backing away.
I don't think this is the job for me.
The latter half of my words exploded in my head when something slammed into my ears, a physical force sending me to my knees. Initially, I didn't know what it was. It sounded like a nuclear bomb had gone off. When the ringing in my head subsided, I was aware I had my head buried in my knees, my hands clamped over my ears. But when I tried to listen past the relentless, shrill ringing in my skull, I heard them one after the other. Gunshots. The crack of each bullet ricocheted in my skull. It was a robbery, I thought, dizzily. We were being robbed. No, that Second Street was being robbed. When I lifted my head to try and find Jude and Anna to see if they were okay, I expected them to be cowering like me, Jude under the table, muffling, yelling into his hand, and Anna calmly pulling him to safety. But that wasn't what I saw. Instead, I must have been fucking imagining things. Jude had not moved from his spot, and perfectly melded into his hand was a gun. A gun he was holding like a pro. His hands wrapped around the butt, index teasing the trigger. His trajectory was directly between Cora's eyes. Jude had not been the one who shot the gun. In fact, neither had Anna, who was still standing stiffly behind the blonde guy. It was a girl behind the counter, who had come out of nowhere, wielding the type of gun I expected to see in movies. I noticed from his stance, Jude had maybe stepped to the left and then the right to avoid being hit, but the way his demeanor was fully and completely relaxed sent shivers creeping down my spine. The deal is off, Cora, he mumbled. You fuck with us, so we fuck with you. He lowered his gun slightly. His eyes darkened. Where's Ren? He came here to sniff you out, so where is he? Cora seemed remarkably calm. She started to raise her hands, her lips forming the words.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Before she stopped, her body going limp. It took me a disorienting moment to realize Jude had taken the shot, followed by another, both landing right between her eyes. When Cora hit the ground, the whole world around me exploded. I was dragged to the ground by Jude as he dived across the floor, pressing himself into the back of a table, twisting around, and taking out the barista who almost shot me in the face. There were five of them, all of them good shooters. Too good. Anna easily took out a blonde and brunette with her own magnum, followed by a bald guy who crashed through the counter, which collapsed under him. Jude fell into a manic shout-out with a guy who would not give up. And after several attempts, reloading, and attempting to finish him from the ground, my colleague got tired and stood up, dropped his gun, and leapt across the counter. I didn't know what to watch. Anna, who was destroying their coffee machine, or Jude, who snapped the boy's neck with a single twist of his fingers before ripping out his eyes. He hauled the dead guy over his knees, grazing his teeth across the pasty flesh of the boy's neck, his eyes flickering. I wouldn't say they turned a different color, but there was something inhuman about them, a certain tint about his iris. Ugh. He shoved the corpse away, jumping up. He reeks of it. Treading through the broken glass and pooling red on the floor, my colleague grabbed a cup, downed it, and then spat it out. That, he sputtered, is the worst fucking thing I've ever tasted. Anna stepped in front of him, handing the boy his gun.
When one of your clan is murdered for no reason, there's an imbalance. When one of any clan is murdered for no reason, there's an imbalance, and the coffee's tainted. We must restore the balance before this gets out of hand.
She surprised me by speaking with a tinge of an Aussie accent. The girl side-eyed me before shooting Jude a knowing look.
Don't let it get in our way.
Aye, aye, Captain.
He mocked a salute before nodding to me.
All right, Sam, you grab a sample. We'll go find the altar.
Something ice cold slipped down my spine.
What?
Cool it. It's more fun than it sounds, was all Jude responded with. Grab the samples.
I was running on adrenaline, doing exactly what he said. I grabbed two coffee cups.
What do we do now? We go home, right?
He swiped at his lips with a sound of disgust.
Are you kidding?
No, man. We get coffee with Jade Tainted. Anna took out two guards in the back before leading us both through a heavy metal door that led into tunnels. Tunnels illuminated by candlelight.
You just killed multiple people.
I finally managed to choke out, following the two of them deeper into the dark.
Over coffee.
I couldn't resist a nervous laugh that sputtered into a cry.
You just murdered 7 baristas over fucking coffee.
I found myself backing away at points, scanning for a way out, an exit away from this fucking nightmare. Jude turns to me, the glitter in her eyes reflected in the candlelight.
Oh, please. His voice echoed down the tunnel in a chuckle. Do you really think this is just about coffee?
I didn't understand what he meant until we came to the end of the tunnel, which dipped into an alcove, leading us into a large cave-like room. Drawing his gun, Jude scanned the dark.
Anyone in here?
He said. And Anna hit him. Silence answered, and I found myself paralyzed to the spot. I didn't know what to stare at first. The 10-foot-tall Starbucks siren looming over us, illuminated in flickering orange candlelight, or the old swimming pool filled to the brim. When I took a step forward, my foot sunk into something soft, and I made the mistake of looking down. Bodies. I guess that was the drink. I felt myself fall back, but Anna's warm arms were guiding me away from decomposing flesh, with decapitated heads poised in a way that I could almost call ritualistic. There were bodies everywhere, all of them curled up or had died in a position of prayer. Jude crouched in front of a guy still in his Starbucks apron. His eyes had been clearly plucked from his skull. Jude's expression was beautifully somber in the candlelight.
Fuck, dude, he whispered. Looks like they got you.
Which explains how they got their hands on a recipe.
Anna pulled out her gun and clicked off the safety. The girl's eyes were suddenly sad, her lips wobbling. I had a hard time believing a girl who had taken out 3 baristas at point-blank range was crying.
Through him. What is this place?
I whispered.
What the fuck are you doing in here?
Jude straightened up. Anna moved behind him, and I noticed her hands holding her gun were trembling. She raised her arm, pointing it at the back of his head. Jude didn't retaliate, only sending me a sickly smile.
It used to be ours, he said. Until
you won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Other stores started opening, and it became a fucking free-for-all. Jude sighed, rocking back and forth on his heels. Anna's trigger finger followed his movements. "We have a peace treaty." Jude trailed off. Had a peace treaty. He nodded to his colleague. "Second Street's always been obsessed with this particular blend we have that other stores don't." His lips curved. "They're greedy and thought they could fuck with us. First, they took our last manager. He was like a dad to us. Sliced him up and sent up his head." He gestured to his friend. "Then they took Ren. They brought that shit upon themselves." As he spoke, Jude dropped to his knees and closed his eyes, bowing his head in front of the siren. Anna didn't move. "Are you ready?" "Always." I screamed, slamming my hand over my mouth when Anna shot Jude point blank in the back of the head. When his body crumpled to the ground, something inside me snapped in two, and I couldn't breathe suddenly. I thought the two were playing some kind of sick game before I caught unmistakable seeping black pooling across the altar. In the blur of orange candlelight, it was almost a mesmerizing sight. "Shush." Anna sent me an annoyed look before gathering his body in her arms. "Make yourself useful and grab a bucket," she said, stumbling towards the pool. I watched her, my heart diving into my throat. When I didn't move, Anna hissed out and twisted around. "Did you not hear me?" she yelled. "Get a bucket and start collecting it." The girl gestured towards a large, rusted pipe looming over the pool, a stream of murky brown water leaking into the pool. When I started forwards, the girl shook her head. "Not yet," she said, before heaving Jude's body and throwing him into the darkness. I heard the splash, but I didn't even see his body hit the surface. Part of me wanted to demand what the fuck she was doing, but I did what I was told, with trembling hands grabbing a bucket and shuffling over to the pool edge. Anna hissed out again. "I said not yet." Before I could speak, she held a finger to her lips. "Do it now. The pool water?" I shrieked. She raised a brow. "You think that's water?" Before I could coerce some kind of speech, I was interrupted by what felt like a sudden earthquake. The ground rumbled under our feet, and I hesitated before dropping the bucket into the water and scooping up as much as I could. I quickly realized it wasn't water. It was thick with the consistency of blood, coffee brown and yet sticky and warm like blood. Above us, the pipe seemed to come to life, a brand new stream of murky brown solution coming down in a waterfall. I didn't think about the pieces of flesh floating on the surface, the decomposing heads I caught bobbing around, or the fact that I was dipping my hands in blood. Coffee and blood. My stomach was trying to projectile my lunch, but I swallowed it down. I took advantage, managing three buckets before Anna was grasping my shoulders and pulled me back. I didn't realize I was sobbing until she was handing me a handkerchief, and I was staring at her, as if to say, "What do you expect me to do with this?" Still in shock, I tried to get another bucket full before she dragged me from the pool edge.
"You can stop now," she said. "We have enough."
"Enough what?"
I staggered back when the surface of the pool rippled. I didn't know what I expected to come out. Dead bodies, decapitated heads. Not Jude, covered in the brown, murky shit I had filled the buckets with. When he broke the surface, I almost threw one of the buckets at his head. Despite being covered in coffee and blood, his skin was oddly free of flaws. The guy was also naked, which should have been a minor problem compared to what I was seeing, which was a real resurrection in front of a 10-foot statue of the Starbucks siren, which was completely normal. But I still found my cheeks heating up. Jude ran a hand through soaked curls, sticking over his eyes, shaking them like a dog before pulling himself out. I couldn't help notice there was no gunshot wound. It was almost as if his body was completely new. I took in abnormally gray-looking skin, like dead flesh, before averting my gaze. "Did we do it?" he gasped out, immediately covering himself. Once out of the pool, he knelt on the ground, sucking in breaths of air before seemingly realizing the state of himself. "Fuck, I didn't think this through."
"I did."
Anna reached into the backpack she had brought, pulling out a shirt and jeans, averting her eyes, and throwing him the bundle.
"Get dressed,"
she said, but there was a slight smirk on her lips.
"Yes, I think we managed to appease them."
"Sweet," Jude grinned, dressing quickly. He sucked the tips of his fingers. "Ah," he nodded at Anna. "That tastes a lot better." He gestured to her, and to my disgust, the girl delicately licked his fingers and nodded with her own smile.
"It tastes like cherry blossom."
His eyes fell on me, and I saw that inhuman gleam in his eyes that had been very much there before he was resurrected in a pool of coffee. His lips quirked. I could still see coffee, or blood, dripping in thick rivulets down his temples and cheeks.
"Should we?"
Jude turns to Anna.
"I mean, while we're here, right? We can induct the newbie."
Immediately, I knew what he was talking about. I stepped back, but he was following me, getting closer and closer until his breath was in my face, and I was teetering on the edge. I sensed something in his eyes, something I never expected from a man who knew exactly what he was doing. Envy. Another step, and I would be falling into what I was sure was a pool full of decomposing bodies and resurrecting coffee.
"Not now,"
Anna murmured, and Jude snapped out of it, taking a step back.
"Buzzkill,"
he muttered. But he did step away, allowing me to inch away from the pool.
"Later," Anna said. "She's shaken up. We can do it first thing tomorrow."
To my surprise, there were no cops at the scene at 2nd Street, because there was no scene. The store was back to normal, and I didn't have the energy to question why. When we returned, Aurora wrapped me into a hug, and I tried to get out of it as quickly as possible, eager to get the fuck away from that place. But I had to finish my shift. I had watched a man resurrected by coffee in a fucking Starbucks shrine, and yet, somehow, I had to keep making drinks until my shift ended. It was nearing closing time when the doors opened, and I found myself face to face with the girl from earlier, the one wearing the pink Ray-Bans. She didn't say anything, but the blade of her knife grazing my gut told me everything I needed to know. With a knowing look when she slipped off her Ray-Bans, she pressed something into my hand before leaving, and I handed it to the manager, who opened it up, almost died laughing, and then threw it in the trash.
"You work for psychopaths,"
I managed to get out, sliding in front of Jude while he was clocking out.
"Also, didn't you fucking die?"
Jude didn't look up from his phone. "It's complicated." His lip quirked.
"You'll find out tomorrow during your induction." "But you work for these people?"
I lowered my voice.
"And you're not trying to get away?"
I gestured to Kai and Aurora standing by the door, the two of them locked in conversation.
"None of you..."
Jude frowned, and I caught the first hint of annoyance. I had only seen this guy smiling, so seeing him scowling was quite the change. I'm sorry. Do you think I have a choice? He surprised me with a laugh. Me? A choice? You really think I wake up every morning and want to do this shit? He got close, his breath in my ear. You came here willingly. I didn't. In fact, I don't even remember coming here. My interview and my first day? Nothing. I don't even remember my first time at Second Street. He threw a towel at me before I could coerce words. Finish cleaning, all right? I'll see you tomorrow for induction. There was something cruel in his smile, like he was waiting for whatever my induction had in store for me. I couldn't help myself. When everyone was gone, and I was tasked with locking up, I picked up the discarded notes out of the trash, smoothing it over. You pieces of shit just declared war. Sleep with one eye open. Cora. XX. I cut my finger with a knife this morning. When I sucked it and grabbed a band-aid, I tasted coffee. I went home and threw up coffee. I showered 8 times and I still fucking smell of coffee. I don't think I'm going to go to work tomorrow. Update. There's been a break-in, and the manager wants me to come in early. Jude and Anna woke me up in the middle of the night to go over tactics. We are taking down Second Street during closing time. I guess I am going to work tomorrow. Does anyone know how to use a gun?